movies, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the
Movies.com.
And I have returned.
Yes.
I was off last week.
Yeah, you had the clarification of your gender clarification surgery in the Netherlands, or the Netherlands, as they would say.
It's a long flight, what can I say? Anyways, but I'm back to talk about a bunch of movies that I have not seen this week, unfortunately, because while I was away in the Netherlands, I missed a few screenings.
Just a couple.
Just a few, four.
That's okay. I've only seen two of the movies, and that's because they're just not screening those in Columbus.
Right, but as we do, we are going to push on this week and talk about Love Happens, The Informant with Matt Damon, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Matt Damon.
And we're going to talk about Megan Fox's body and Jennifer's body. Yeah. But before we get to all of that, here's some important information that you should know on how to get a hold of Fat Guys in the Movies.
Sounds like you're getting ready to start an Amway meeting here. Here's some information you should know.
Here's some things you should know. You can get us over at fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys at the Movies, and we come right up. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735.
Zing!
You can also now get us on Twitter.
Yes.
Well, you could get us on Twitter before, we just never told you that. You can get Kevin over at twitter.com/KevinCarr, and you can get me at twitter.com/rejects, REJECTS.
Yes. And if you really want to know, you can see some of the cool stuff this week, like me having a smackdown with another FSR writer about whether or not Peter Berg's a hack, which he is.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Total hack. Total hack.
Sure.
Did we get any voicemails this week or last week?
I don't believe so. I didn't see any while I logged in there. I think your mom might have called.
Why would my mom? My mom doesn't even listen to the show. Why would she call the voicemail?
Kevin, I don't ask questions around here. I just state facts.
So are you coming to Columbus for the horror movie marathon? Can we talk about that real quick?
Sure. I don't think I'm going to make it.
Oh, you should. They're showing The Thing. You get to see The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing.
No, but I think that I'm going to organize a pilgrimage to Columbus in the spring for the sci-fi marathon, because
yes,
that's always good. I missed it this past year, and I want to go next year.
Yeah, well,
but the horror marathon.
I don't think you could handle 24 hours of horror movies. I think you just.
I don't think so either. I'm already dreading a little bit Fantastic Fest.
You wouldn't even
wet
your pants. I think that if you went to 24 hours of horror movies, you would liquefy.
Yeah,
you would just be nothing but wet pants.
Next week it's Fantastic Fest here in Austin, and it's a huge. I'll have some stuff to report. Not this coming week. Not next week's show, but the week after show. And there's a lot of horror movies playing. Like Paranormal Activity is playing there, that movie that's supposed to be like the scariest movie ever of all time.
I've heard some good things about that one.
And there's some other horror movies. It's really a big genre festival. Horror, sci-fi, action. I'm going to go see a lot of the action and the sexually depraved movies.
Ooh,
and I'm
going
to let Dr. Colobias and Rob Hunter go and see all the horror movies. Because that sort of thing.
If you do happen to be in Columbus, Ohio in October, on the weekend of October 17th and 18th, they're having Shock Around the Clock, which is a 24-hour horror movie marathon. That's
a way better name than the 24-hour horror marathon.
Yeah, Shock Around the Clock. It's going to have Stuart Gordon, who directed Reanimator and From Beyond. He's going to be as a special guest. He's been a guest before at these things in Columbus, but they're showing From Beyond. They're showing The Host, Henry Portrait of the Serial Killer, Day of the Dead. They're showing a premiere of I Sell the Dead, Daughters of Darkness from 1971, John Carpenter's The Thing. You have Q with David Carradine, The Mask of a Red Death with Vincent Price, and the original Black Cat with Karloff and Ligusi. And then, of course, who can resist the werewolf versus vampire women?
The werewolf versus vampire women.
Yes.
Awesome.
This is going to be fun. It's, yeah.
Combine that with John Carpenter's The Thing and I Sell the Dead, and I think you're in good shape.
Yeah, go to horrormarathon.com. You can get the information. Tickets are like $35 or $40, depending on when you buy them.
Where is it? I'm going to be there.
What
venue is it at this year?
It's at the Grandview Theater,
oh, nice.
Which used to
That's
be
cool
the
theater.
Drexel, which is a chain in Columbus, but they closed that Drexel branch, and then somebody else opened it. So it's an independent theater. Seats only about 300. So yeah, get your tickets early. I'm going to be there, so you can find me tweeting. I'll tweet during the thing on my iPhone.
Oh, nice.
So
make sure you don't disturb anyone, because I'm pretty sure the last time
we almost got kicked out.
We almost either started a riot or got kicked out, and I blame it on Dr. Kolobias because he was talkative during that sci-fi marathon.
You know who I blame it on? I blame it on your brother Cody.
My brother.
He should come down. He should come down for the horror marathon.
I'd shoot him an email.
I will. All right. So we've eaten up most of our time in this segment.
Well, that's good because we're talking about Love Happens next.
Yeah. This one, Two-Face and the ex Mrs. Pitt get it on.
Without further ado,
Burke Ryan.
I'm feeling okay. How are you?
This is your moment. TV, radio, publishing, like Learjets.
You know that's not why I wrote it.
You do know that you're helping people.
So tell me, what motivated the book?
My wife died 3 years ago.
Did they really get it on, though? I think that's really the question.
I don't care. I don't even want to talk about this movie. They didn't screen it in Columbus. It looks like the most boring movie ever.
It looks like Sleepless in Seattle, but not.
Yeah, Sleepless in Seattle without the classic movie premise.
Yeah. The only thing I really know about this movie, other than seeing the trailer, which looks, you know, pretty
terrible,
generic, yeah, is that there are two screenwriters suing NBC over the rights, over the saying that this plot was stolen from them. And I'm like, really? This plot was probably stolen from
everybody.
A lot of people.
Yeah. No, you know what? This is, I don't even want to see it. And the movie's going to bomb. Nobody's going to care. It preemptive sucked. They didn't screen it for us. Let's move to The Informant, or rather, The Informant! Because it has an exclamation point.
Yeah.
Matt Damon put on some pounds to play the biggest corporate snitch ever.
They will make me the next president of ADM.
How can you possibly stay there when you've just taken down the company?
Because they need me to run the company.
That's completely illogical.
I want you to keep this secret.
Absolutely. Don't tell us anything.
It's very important to your case you not discuss this with anyone else.
I'm a person of interest in an ongoing investigation.
Oh, my God.
You guys still think I'm going to be okay at the company, right? I mean, you guys are going to take down the bad guys, but I'll be okay, right?
I think the corporate culture is going to change a little bit.
So, did you see this one?
I didn't. I missed the screening. I was so disappointed. The Informant is one of the movies that I really wanted to see.
It's an interesting movie, and here's the thing. Anything that comes from Soderbergh, you kind of have to... He never does anything the traditional style. So this is...
Right.
This is
well, and his different. Comedies are good.
Well, and this one is a comedy. It's told... It's a very dry, delivered piece, but it's very, very funny, and it's sort of whimsical and goofy, and it's about this guy who's snitching to the FBI about this big sort of price-fixing scheme, but he's lying about it, and he's mm-hmm. doing stupid things. You kind of have to go in knowing what to expect. It's not an out-and-out laugh-out-loud comedy, but it's just almost whimsically goofy and funny.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. It was good. It's, for me, it's a kind of rocks. It's not a total rocks, but it's a kind of rocks. I need to see it again because
oh, nice.
You know, I just, it's a slow starter, so you kind of have to know what you're getting into. But it's definitely worth checking out, especially if you like Soderbergh stuff. So.
All right. So if you're into Steven Soderbergh's comedy...
That's all I have to say about that.
Going to see The Informant. When we come back, we're going to talk about stuff. And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies. And Kevin, I think you had more to say about that Informant movie, didn't you?
Yeah, we kind of got rushed a little bit at the end because we spent time talking about Fantastic Fest and the horror movie marathon in Columbus. So I do want to talk a little bit more. To give you a little bit more history about it, it's about this company that was doing price fixing on agricultural products that kind of go in, you know, like corn syrup and that stuff that is used in almost every product mm-hmm. on the market. And it's a lot about corporate greed, but it's a different sort of, it's not that Michael Moore, you know, since we got Capitalism, a Love Story coming up, it's not like Michael Moore basically saying, making any kind of money is terrible and you shouldn't make it, but I can. It just, pretty much frames everything in a very sort of a silly premise. I mean, it's all very down to earth, but it kind of has this whimsical feel throughout the show, and dealing with this character that Matt Damon plays, who is informing on his company to the FBI, but he's also just telling lies and he's doing naughty things in terms of business, not in the sexual context. Mm-hmm. But this is not going to be like The Hangover, where people are going to go come out and be like, oh my God, it was the funniest movie ever. This is a little more of a grown-up comedy, I guess you could say. Did you see mm-hmm. Duplicity? Julie Roberts and Clive Owen.
If I did, I don't remember
it. Okay. Came out a couple weeks ago on Blu-ray and DVD, but it came out this spring, it was in the middle of the summer, early summer or something like that. And it's that kind of a movie where that one was about corporate espionage, so it's sort of this lighthearted look at the background of companies and how they work and how they try and make money and how they try and do dealings. But this is all them doing dirty dealings, and there's no good guys in the movie. And that's sort of, you kind of have mm-hmm. to go in expecting that. And it's very low key, but it is very funny at times. So anyways, a little mm-hmm. bit, that was just a little bit more on The Informant.
Cool.
So let's talk about, let's have a change of pace and talk about something you haven't seen. How's that sound?
Hey, sure. Why not?
Bah, bah, bah.
Wow.
Let's start with Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. This one, it's an aspiring inventor, makes a device that turns precipitation into food, and things go horribly wrong.
My name is Flint Lockwood, and I've always wanted to invent something awesome. But when my little town fell on hard times, all anyone could afford to eat were sardines. And because sardines are super gross, this was my chance to show everyone what I was made of. Conversion of water into food.
You know what you are, Flint Lockwood? A shenaniganizer. Why can't you be more like my son, Cal?
Sup?
Now, why
don't things always go horribly wrong?
Things always go horribly wrong. I tweeted about, I was watching Eureka the other day, and I looked at mm-hmm. what the explanation for the show Eureka, one of the episodes, was. It's like, a scientific experiment goes wrong and threatens to kill everybody in the town. Which I'm like, isn't that every single episode of that show? That'd be sort of like, mm-hmm. oh, Three's Company, there was a misunderstanding, and people, you know, and Mr. Furley thinks Jack's gay.
Right.
But,
right.
Hey, did you ever read the book, Cloudy with a Chance of
Meatballs? No, I haven't.
You are totally unprepared for this, are you?
Well, I didn't know I was supposed to go out and read a children's book for this show, Kevin. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Just the dedication for the 7 or 8 minutes it takes to actually read the book was a little too much for you.
Oh, it's a short book? I was at the bookstore the other day. You could have told me this. Well, and I would have read it in the bookstore.
It's not like Atlas Shrugged for kids or anything like that, where it's like a 2,000-page book. It's a picture book.
Fair enough.
But it's sort of like the Polar Express. Remember that movie came out, and that one was the picture book. If you've ever read the Polar Express, you know, it's just like, it's like 10 pages long. It's very, very short. And then they expanded it into this whole big movie. It's kind of the same way with Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, because the book is just about this town that food falls from the sky instead of rain and snow. And then it kind of goes bad, and then things get better. I mean, there's no story per se in the book. Yeah. But they do put a story to it, the movie, and
I would imagine they would have to.
Well, they didn't really in the Polar Express. That was the problem with the Polar Express, is that it was this very simple thing, and then they just added a whole bunch of stuff that was very extraneous on the Polar Express, and it wasn't that good of, you know, it really wasn't that good of a story. This one, they really built this whole new story about this guy who makes this invention, and you know what, before I saw it, I was really worried that it was going to suck, because I was like, wow, this could potentially be terrible, because they're taking a movie that didn't have a book that didn't have a story and then trying to make a movie out of it. But you know what? It's real clever and it's cute. It reminds me of The Simpsons, and it has all these like little like sort of like sight gags and extra, you know, funny things that they don't pitch over the head with it. If you miss it, you miss it. And I like that.
It's got some. It's got a good voice cast, I've noticed. It's got Bruce Campbell, mm-hmm. Bill Hader, and Anna Faris, and
What's great about
Neil Patrick Harris.
What's nice about the voice cast is so many times in movies nowadays they'll, especially for a cartoon, they're like, you know, for CG, a big huge movie, even Pixar does, is they're like, let's get these big name actors for it, and they're just not. You know, it's really not that great. Whereas this one, they pick people who could really do a good part for the role in the movie.
Right.
And they weren't picked for their star names. They were picked because they were funny and because they could really pull off the characters. And that's part of what was so great about it. The movie's out there. I mean, it's way out there because it's about food falling from the sky. And so it's bizarre, but right. it works. And I enjoyed it. It's one of my favorite CGI movies this year, actually, I'd have to say.
Right.
And the 3D is really cool as
awesome.
Well. It's in 3D.
I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm down with all of that.
So I will give
those
it a,
shenanigans.
I give it a totally rocks.
All right. Totally rocks from Kevin Carr. Moving on to the next movie we're going to talk about.
Yes.
Which is the highly anticipated horror comedy Jennifer's Body, yeah. in which Megan Fox looks hot but doesn't act as a demonically possessed teenager who kills boys. Yum.
You always do what Jennifer tells you to do.
It's just that I like the same things that she likes.
Hey, Jennifer. You look really pretty.
Why don't you just come by my place? That was random.
This isn't really your house, is it?
We can play mommy and daddy.
No way.
We always share your bed when we have slumber parties.
Jennifer's evil.
I know.
No, I mean, she's actually evil. Not high school evil.
I love when you read the stuff I write for the blurbs of these things and you have no idea what I've written.
Hey, man.
Someday I'm going to write it and be like, Jennifer Body, it's a movie about Megan Fox where she turns into a person who says that Neil Miller's an idiot. And you'll read that and you'll be like, oh, I feel so dumb. I'll feel like an idiot.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Anyway, so Jennifer's Body, the story is they didn't screen it for anyone. Well, I mean, they screened it for people around the country.
They did.
They didn't screen it in Columbus, did they?
No, they didn't screen it in Columbus. They didn't screen it in Cincinnati. I could have gone and seen it in Cleveland, but I would have had to miss my screening of The Informant, or I could have driven to Indianapolis, and that wasn't going to happen.
I'm pretty sure they didn't screen here in Austin. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure we would have been invited because, you know, I mean, the Film School Rejects is a big deal around here. So,
Didn't they screen it at, like, Toronto? Did they screen it at Toronto?
Oh, they screened it. They screened it in Toronto, and they screened it in San Francisco because I know Film School Rejects is going to have a review from Rob Hunter this weekend.
What's the early buzz you're hearing about this?
The early buzz I'm hearing so far is that it's fun.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. Let me see if I can.
Generally, what I've heard is that it's like okay. It's not great.
Well, I mean, it's written by Diablo Cody. It's directed by Karen Kusama, who did Girl Fight.
Mm.
So I mean, there's quality people involved in this, but then again, it's questionable because I mean, Diablo Cody was really good because Jason Reitman was directing her with Juno, not necessarily because she's an amazing writer. She's kind of a one-trick writer in my mind.
The thing is, Juno was such a quirky, bizarre, unique movie that, you know, she could either do... it's kind of like what Ellen Page is turning into. You can either just do another rehash of the character. You can just do the same thing over, or you can do something very different. And honestly, post-Juno with like smart people and this upcoming Whippet, I don't see Ellen Page really being something different than what she was in Juno.
Right. Well, and from what I hear of this movie, is that the one thing that I heard specifically about Jennifer's Body is that Megan Fox was like made to deliver dialogue from Diablo Cody. The dialogue from Diablo Cody just fits perfectly into Megan Fox's mouth. And that's right.
Nice.
I just did it.
Oh, wow.
I would like to celebrate the moment where I got to say, puts into
you
Megan
don't,
Fox's
you don't
mouth.
Have to repeat it. You don't have to repeat it. I've already got this image in my head. Well, this is the thing. Megan Fox is an idiot. And I would imagine that this would be with the exception of just like, looking hot in Transformers and not actually uttering a word of dialogue, this is about it that she could do. I really think her days are over. I mean, she doesn't have anything else in her bag of tricks. So I'm going to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious. I'm more curious to see Amanda Seyfried. I think she's hot.
Well, definitely.
So there we go.
Anyway, so preemptive whatever.
Suck. You got to say preemptive suck.
We'll be back in a minute.
Thank you.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are in the famous middle segment.
I'm still
here. I don't
know
if it's famous. I don't know. It's not famous by anybody, really.
Every segment that we do is famous, Kevin. We're talking about box office, which I'm sure will wet a few seats out there.
That's right, bitches. Wet your seats when we talk box office.
Okay.
Is your seat wet? Is your seat wet, Neil?
No. My seat's dry because I deliver the box office news.
My seat's a little wet, but that has nothing to do with you.
Fair enough. Anyway, last weekend we had Tyler Perry doing box office all by himself. Ugh. And he didn't do too bad.
He did okay.
He did number one, $23 million, which is pretty good for a Tyler Perry opening. I mean, that's about it's about on par with a lot of his other movies.
No, actually, it's dipped down. It was like, it's like his third best opening, but it's nowhere near what Madea Goes to Jail made. Madea Goes to Jail made almost twice as much its opening weekend.
Right, but I mean, like, Family Reunion opened at 30, Why Did I Get Married opened at 21, Diary of a Mad Black Woman opened at 21, Madea Goes to Jail opened at 41, which is the biggest so far.
Yeah, but we've seen it dip down. That's the only thing.
Right.
I'm just saying it's dipped down. But then again, it's September, which is just box office death.
Right. Nine, the gothic animated thriller, Nine.
Did you like Nine? Since we didn't talk about
Nine.
It last week.
I thought it was a lot of fun. The story doesn't make a lick of sense. In the end, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever what's going on in that movie. But it's a fun action movie, and it is beautifully animated.
Oh yeah.
So it made $10 million over the weekend, $15 million total because it opened on Wednesday the 9th.
9909.
So that it could open on 9909, which is that's a solid opening for a movie that I think kind of flew very much under the radar and only opened in 1600 theaters.
Well, and so. it really and David Metzger and I, who was the guest host last week, we talked about the fact that it really doesn't have a specific audience. It's not like Tyler Perry's, where there's definitely a definite audience going to see that.
Right. There's no following for Shane Acker just yet. And I feel like if the story would have been stronger, it could have been just like District 9, where it was kind of a sensation. Yeah. And it broke into the mainstream. But the movie wasn't as strong as it needed to be. The story, at least, wasn't as strong.
I don't know.
The movie was beautiful.
The story was just weak.
I
think the movie was all it needed to be for what it was. And if it was trying to be something more, I give it respect that it didn't, that it went and made the movie. And it did what it needed to do. And it didn't try, with the exception of some real sort of grabbing the big actors like we talked about before, voice casting, where they just got some big names. I think the movie was that sort of independent, if you've ever watched like independent animation, like at any animation festivals, stuff done by college students and people who haven't broken into the field, that's what Nine really reminded me of. And I thought that it was a feature film that really captured that style, and it didn't compromise itself. And for it, to its own detriment, I think box office wise, but I still think it was a fantastically done film.
Right. Fair enough.
So.
All right, cool. Now that we've reviewed Nine a week late.
Yeah. Did you see Sorority Row or Whiteout?
No, but we did have the doctor. Dr. Cole Bias went to see both of those. And Sorority Row apparently was fun, and Whiteout was apparently pretty awful. So,
you know what? The Whiteout wasn't as bad as I literally thought it was going to be, like, virus bad. Did you ever see Virus with Jamie Lee Curtis?
No.
That was a bad, bad movie. And Whiteout wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination, but it wasn't awful. I mean, it wasn't worthy of... I think it was like at like 3% on Rotten Tomatoes. It wasn't that bad. I mean, seriously, there are worse movies out there. But it wasn't going to do well. Part of it is, I mean, it really felt like The Thing, and there was nothing more than just, you know, a bad guy trying to kill people.
Right.
You know, there wasn't the alien aspect. There wasn't anything beyond just a murder mystery in a different location.
Right.
So Sorority Row, though, didn't do very well. It came in sixth and Whiteout came in seventh. I would have expected Sorority Row to do a little bit better.
Right.
But that's kind of the summit curse. If it's not a Twilight movie or something with Nicolas Cage, it just isn't going to do well.
Yeah. Fair enough. So. Anyway, so those did 6th and 7th last week. This week we've got... What's coming out this week? Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is the most...
that you didn't see.
Well, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is the widest release. Jennifer's Body and The Informant are only in 2,500 theaters or so. Cloudy with a Chance is in 3,000 theaters.
And it's going to be an IMAX... Well, I was going to say... Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is going to be in IMAX and in 3D, which is in, which is higher ticket prices, which is going to offset the whole matinee kids price thing. So I think you're going to get a very realistic. It's going to be a contender in terms of money wise.
Fair enough.
Go on. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, so I feel as if Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is going to be right there with Jennifer's Body 1 and 2. The Informant. The Informant will finish in the top five. I don't think Love Happens is going to finish anywhere near the top five.
Person. It's not even in 2,000 theaters. It doesn't have much of a presence. And I don't think either, even though they're both stars and they've both been in huge movies, neither Jennifer Aniston or Aaron Eckhart has ever carried a movie because they've been in it.
Right.
You know, I mean, Jennifer Aniston's been in some big movies, but it's like Bruce Almighty, and that was because of...
Right, or Along Came Polly, because Ben Stiller was
which
there,
was a Ben Stiller thing. There's really nothing you can point at to say... And the closest you can get to is The Breakup with her and Vince Vaughn, but that was more Vince Vaughn, I think, than anything else, and the fact that they were having a relationship and it made the tabloids and stuff.
Right.
And Aaron Eckhart, he's never carried a movie either. I mean, he's done some great things, but he's never carried a movie. I just don't see this one doing it.
He's never carried a movie to financial success. So that he did a very good job with a movie called Meet Bill, which he was great in.
Well, and Thank You for Smoking, too.
And Thank You for Smoking, but I mean, I don't think either one of those were really all on the shoulders of Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah. I mean, he's not somebody who people are going to plop down money necessarily to go see.
Right. He was great in Thank You for Smoking, though, by the way. Yeah.
He's a good actor, so. I mean, he was good.
He was also okay in that Batman movie.
But he was. I mean, going back to like in The Company of Men, he's done some great stuff. It's just nothing that's really for him. Although I don't think Jennifer's Body is going to have as strong.
You don't think so with the Megan Fox factor? And
honestly, I do. I don't think she's a. I think there are more people that can't stand her than I mean, she's not. It's not like Jessica Alba. Who's beautiful, but there's a likability. She has a likability on screen. Megan Fox is more like Lindsay Lohan, where she's an abrasive personality, and people aren't going to go see her movies because of her. If you want to see Megan Fox for what Megan Fox needs to be, pick up a copy of Maxim, and you're done.
Huh, fair enough.
Five minutes later.
Anyway, so cool. So that's kind of. That's box office.
There we are. Let's move on.
Moving on to the Fat Guy 5. This week is less about the two fat guys coming up on the list and more about me probing Kevin Carr's knowledge of sexy horror movies.
Quit talking about probing me.
And this is the 5 sexy horror movies. And this is an all Kevin Carr list.
Yeah, because you don't know any horror movies, let alone sexy horror movies.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know some horror movies, but none of them are really sexy. The ones I like aren't sexy. Yeah. So...
Well, I'm going to go through these, and these are not a like any Fat Guy 5. It's not a comprehensive list. These are just 5 recommendations. We're leading into October, so there'll be horror movies. So, you know, complain all you want, but here's what they are. First one I want to put on the list, Critters 2.
I remember this one.
Yeah, and the reason I say that is because there's a character in there who, and it's sort of a horror movie, it's campy, but there's a character, it's a bounty hunter who comes down and needs to take human form, and so she takes the human form of a Playboy centerfold and she walks around naked the whole time. Played by Roxanne Caronin, I think is how you pronounce her name, who actually died in a car accident like in 1993. But so she's naked through a chunk of the movie, and that's always great. When it was PG-13 too, and as a kid who was a teenager when it came out, awesome.
Nice.
Next one, Angel Heart. Did you ever see Angel Heart?
No.
It has Lisa Bonet from The Cosby Show. It was her breakout role outside of The Cosby Show because she played the squeaky clean character, whatever, Huxtable. And so she's like, no, I'm going to do a movie where I'm going to have sex with Mickey Rourke and there's going to be blood flying all over us. And it's a sexy, sexy scene in Angel Heart. Great movie, though, with Robert De Niro, Mickey Rourke, and Lisa Bonet getting naked. So there you go. Another one. The Hunger. Do you ever see The Hunger? You haven't seen any of these.
No, but I have The Hunger.
Are you saying you have the movie, or are you just hungry?
No, I'm currently hungry.
Okay, that's well. Yeah, we're fat guys. What do you expect?
We're right, fat get guys. It? Because we're fat.
Wah wah.
It's funny because he's fat.
Wow. Anyways, The Hunger. This stars David Bowie and Catherine Deneuve and Susan Sarandon. Back when Susan Sarandon actually was attractive, sort of. I mean, she still had those eyes that were sunk into her head like a dead, you know, head shrunken skull. But there's a great lesbian scene with Catherine Deneuve and Susan Sarandon. And David Bowie's in it. So he's half woman.
Hey,
too,
any
so.
Movie that David Bowie's in is obviously sexy.
Nah, I don't think Bandslam was that sexy. And The Man Who Fell to Earth was kind of a dumb movie. Anyways,
fair
the
enough.
Next one, Innocent Blood, which is a terrible, terrible movie, but it's got one hot, hot vampire in it, and she is gorgeous. It's directed by John Landis, and she's naked in it. So I support
that John Landis. He knows what's up.
He knows how to direct naked people.
You know what's funny about
and
all these
kill
movies
people on Twilight
is
Zone.
That I have. I've not seen a lot of these movies or any of these movies, but I've seen the nude scenes.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And you call me the pervert. Go figure. The top one, I don't think you've seen this one at all. They Came From Within. Are you familiar with this?
No.
It's a David Cronenberg movie. And
is, this,
it's basically,
is this some sort of adult movie, Kevin? Because
no,
I thought we were
no,
going to talk about regular movies.
Well, no, it was made in the 70s. So mm-hmm. it was, I think it may have actually had an X rating initially, but it actually was given an X rating by the MPA. It wasn't just they said, oh, let's have people having sex and just put an X. No, they actually submitted this, got an NC-17 rating. David Cronenberg's Canadian, so it was made in Canada. Mm-hmm. And so I think when they brought it to America, they either had to trim it down or it was,
get
you know,
it,
they had
trim
to change
it, down.
It or whatever. Yeah. But it's basically a story about, as I understand it, it's an allegory to syphilis.
And allegory to syphilis. Aliens. There you go.
Yeah, aliens coming in and affecting people's body, and it's all about sex. And David Cronenberg's stuff from the 70s is very sexy and naughty.
Right.
Did I just say that like Jack A from 227?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to kill myself now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's the sexiest horror movie you ever saw?
I don't really know.
Ernest Scared Stupid, maybe?
No, you know, I don't.
The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. that Lucy Van Pelt, she's hot.
I don't, you know, hold on, I'm thinking here.
How about,
give me a second.
How about The Night of the Living Dead?
All the Boys Love Mandy Lane was a pretty sexy horror
movie.
It wasn't
what
really.
What about Return of the whole Return of the Living Dead series? They're naked throughout the
Yeah,
movies.
I guess.
Leanna Quigley, naked.
What about the girl from Audition? She's sexy.
You're just grasping at straws now.
I know. God. I am just falling apart here.
Go get your Playgirl magazine with Jim Varney in the Ernest costume, and we'll take a break.
Anyway, when we come back, we're going to wrap you up. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and I just wanted to say something about that Fat Guy 5. I thought of one, finally.
Oh, okay. Your
sexy horror movies. I know what you did
and
last summer.
Please don't say 30 Days of a Night.
No, I know what you did last summer, and it's only because they have Jennifer Love Hewitt running around in a low-cut top the whole time.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll give you that.
I win.
Sort of in a PG-13 sort of way.
Yeah, well, obviously. But anyways, time to move on to the actually world-famous DVD Roundup.
And it is world famous because we got a listener from Sweden, don't we? Isn't he from Sweden? Somebody who
probably
somebody tweeted at us not too long ago, and they're from Sweden. So
and they like
rock
the DVD
on.
Roundup, I guess.
Well, no, he likes fat guys.
Oh, well, I mean,
and
who
you
doesn't?
Know what's really funny? Here's something else before we go on DVD. I found there's somebody else who was on Twitter. I seem to all my fans out there, my like diehard fans, are like 14-year-old boys.
Well, yeah, because you have the.
Not in a creepy sort of way.
That's like you relate best to 14-year-old boys in
I speak
what
to
you
them.
Like.
Yeah, and I was like, and it was like this guy was carrying a conversation with me about like A Clockwork Orange, which, you know, that's a pretty heavy-duty film. You know, it's an X-rated movie, mm-hmm. you know, from the 70s. And then he came out that he's like, yeah, he was born in like 1994. And I'm like, I graduated college in 94. He's mm-hmm. like, yeah, you've been talking to teenagers. And I'm like, I feel creepy now.
Yeah.
You know, and then I said to him, hey, it's not going to stop me from, you know, tweeting about breasts.
Mm-hmm.
Writes back, yay.
Nice. So,
I have an audience, and they can't vote. So
anyway, speaking of things that our audience likes, how about my DVD picks?
Yes, pick your DVD. This is a great week for DVDs.
It is a great week for DVDs.
Not for theatrical releases, but it's all these TV shows that are getting ready for the next season. So yeah, start off.
Well, you got It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia season 4, which premiered this week. Season five premiered this week. Season 4 is out on DVD. If you're not watching this show, you're just wrong. You're just wrong. Plain wrong.
You need to see it. And if this doesn't offend you, you need help.
Right. Army of Darkness, the Screwhead Edition, because who doesn't love Army of Darkness, is finally on Blu-ray.
Woo!
And I loved it. It's got tons of special features. It's great. And the John Carpenter Master of Fear collection is out this week, which we had a chance to watch The People Under the Stairs, which is one of those movies from my childhood that just creeped me out.
John Carpenter didn't. That was Wes
Craven. There's a Wes Craven one, too. I'm sorry. Craven and John Carpenter Masters of Fear collections. But the John Carpenter one comes with like The Thing and
all that
good stuff.
I'll use that to dovetail into one of my picks, which is Universal has re-released they're doing a whole bunch of their horror movies.
Yeah, well,
because it's starting. October's coming up, Halloween season's coming up. Oh, there's a lot of stuff that hasn't had Blu-ray releases, so they're just dropping a ton of things, and they're doing some older versions on DVD as well.
Right.
And it's sort of like the modern day monsters. They have stuff like Van Helsing, which I liked. I have to say, I liked Steven Summers. He does crap, but it's good crap. The Thing is on Blu-ray, and American Werewolf in London. Mm-hmm. Next week, you're going to have Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, but we'll talk about that next week.
Oh, the Shaun of the Dead Blu-ray and Hot Fuzz Blu-rays are awesome, by the way.
Another re-releasing of older movies on Blu-ray is Miramax is releasing a bunch of their martial arts movies.
That's right.
The Legend of Drunken Master, Hero, was it Iron Monkey? And I don't know how to pronounce it, the Zatoichi. You know what I'm talking about.
But yeah.
These are modern martial arts movies, a lot of them with people like Jet Li or Jackie Chan.
The Legend of Drunken Master is a fantastic movie.
Yeah, these are great. And Hero is a beautifully shot movie. It's an amazing film. So these are ones, if you haven't seen them, get them on Blu-ray because they look good in a high-def format.
Right.
But going back to some more new ones, the only big theatrical is Wolverine. That's the only huge theatrical.
Right.
That's on Blu-ray and DVD.
Which was just okay.
It's an okay movie. It did well because it kind of led the box office. But, if you're going to get it either on the Blu-ray 2-disc edition, which has digital copy, or the 2-disc DVD, because it's just crammed with special features. I mean, it's like the Blu-ray. I'm literally looking at the Blu-ray, and the type is so small to kind of fit all the features on listing it on the disc. That's how much features are on that disc. You got Fame season 1 and 2. That's out on DVD this week if you want to catch up before you see the movie, which actually was a good show. Did you ever watch Fame? Did you catch those in rerun? I think you were too young for them to actually be there. Fame was a good show.
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
It's probably going to be better than the movie. But yeah, you can catch that. Other ones, The Big Bang Theory season 2. That's a funny show.
Mm-hmm.
All about. Are you checking your email?
No.
I'm listening
to The Big Bang.
Oh, no, you're not.
The Big Bang Theory. Ah.
Big Bang Theory. That's a great one. And then some other monster stuff. You've got Sanctuary season 1. That's a show from Sci-Fi Channel. It's sort of like these people that they keep all these strange creatures in a sanctuary to protect them from the people who are trying to kill them. It stars Amanda Tapping from Stargate. And there's also Primeval season 2, which is a BBC show, which is basically a monster of the week with dinosaurs coming into our dimension. That's a great show, too. I mean, this is a fantastic week for DVDs. So much so that I've completely taken up all the time talking about it.
Fair enough. Anyway, time to wrap up the reviews from this week. Claudia with a Chance of Meatballs, you did see and said...
Rocked. And see it in 3D if you can.
See it in 3D. The Informant, which neither one of us saw.
No, I saw it.
Oh,
I said
no, you saw
it.
That's right. God, I don't even remember what's going on here. Jennifer's Body, which neither one of us saw, gets a preemptive suck, but we can see that possibly being enjoyable. And Love Happens gets a definitely preemptive suck because it definitely preemptively sucks.
I'm not going to see it.
Next week, we've got Surrogates. We've got the remake of Fame. We've got Pandorum, The Invention of Lying, and Capitalism, a Love Story from Michael Moore. In the meantime, you can get us at fatguys@themovies.com. All the relevant information is over there. Until next week,
Word.
Hasta luego.
What the hell?